But don't sit down on the inside. You know, you can listen, be in the presence of God. You can still be worshiping Him in your spirits, speaking in tongues in your spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're going to be starting over in Psalm 56 this morning. And as you're turning there, I just want to recognize all those that gave their life in service. You know, it is Memorial Day. And I don't know if you know this, but you never say Happy Memorial Day. You never say that. Okay, this is not like Veterans Day. And we honor those that gave up their lives. And you know, not only in the military, but also our first responders that have given up their lives. You know, and they gave up their lives to protect us, to keep us safe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And, you know, we've had a lot of people give up their lives for the gospel. To help, to promote, and to spread in the earth the good news of Jesus Christ. That in Him and in no other name that's been given under heaven by which men must be saved. The devil don't like that. But you know what? That boy ain't lasting forever. And his days will come to an end. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, if you don't like the fact that he rules in the world system, you can have a little talk with Adam when you get there. But I would imagine that by the time you get there, you will already know. You won't have to ask. Amen. Well, it's good to be back. We had a really great week away. We went to Savannah for a week. And even though we've been there many times, so just so you know, we did no touring. We did nothing. We've been there many, many times. So we just went there to relax, to get away, and enjoy our anniversary. Amen. Amen. And the last night, I took Pastor Nid to a nice, elegant restaurant, and we enjoyed our anniversary dinner. And they even wrote on our plates, Happy 50th Anniversary. So that was nice. And they took very well. They took good care of us. The hotel was wonderful. And I appreciate Pastor Morgan teaching Wednesday night. And very good word. You know, we may go out of town, but the Holy Spirit never does. Amen. And so it's great to know that we can leave and we have a wonderful staff that stays behind, takes care of things while we're gone. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. Did you find Psalm 56? Let's look in verse 13. Psalm 56, 13. It says, "For you have delivered my soul from death, indeed my feet from stumbling, so that I may walk before God in the light of the living." He has delivered our soul, or our life is what he's talking about. He's not talking about the soul like the mind, emotions, and will. He's talking about our life. He has delivered our life out from death. He has set us free, delivered us out from hell, and set us on high. Delivered us out of the lowest of lows and brought us to the highest of highs. Isn't that right? Amen. And he said, "So that I may walk before God in the light of the living, that I may walk before God." He has delivered me in order that, for this reason and for this purpose, that I may walk before God in the light of the living. Not in the land of the living. I know there's other things that talks about the land of the living, but he's talking about in the light of the living, that we would walk before our God in the light of the living. The Amplified Bible, let's look at that in the Amplified Bible. And it says, "That I may walk before God in the light of the life and of the living." Okay? In the light of life and of the living. This is why Ecclesiastes says that the dead die better than the living live. And that really applies so much to the Christian. Because when you're dead, you're dead. You're not halfway dead. You're dead. You're done. It's complete. But how many times do we, in the land of the living, we don't really live. We breathe. We exist. But we don't live. And this is what he's talking about, that we ought to live in the light of the living, because that's what you've been delivered for. Yeah. For that purpose, to live in the light of the living. It was a purpose of God within your freedom. He set you free so that you can walk before him in the light of the living. He freed us from bondage so that we could walk in and live in freedom and in this light. And the more light you take hold of, the more light you take hold of, the more light you take hold of, the more freedom you will enjoy in life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now in 2 Peter chapter 2, as you turn in, I just want to remind you about tonight's service at 6 o'clock. Believers meeting. How many believers do we have in this room? Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. It says, "For speaking out arrogant words of vanity, they entice by fleshly desires, by sensuality, those who barely escape from the ones who live in error." You know, there's a lot of people that say things like, "Well, you know, I wasn't too bad before I got saved." So they get saved and then they live the same way because they weren't too bad. And of course, bad is with air quotes around it. Yeah. Bad. So what is your definition of bad? What is your standard of bad? You know, Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? There's none good but God." So where is our standard and our level of bad? See, we all have within our mind and within our thinking and within our traditions of what we think bad is. You know, when you think of bad, you think about somebody like a serial killer. That's bad. That's evil. I mean, that's bad, right? You know, but bless God, you know, I only lie. I just lie. That's all that I do. That ain't too bad. But all Adam did was eat a piece of fruit and brought down the whole human race. So what is our standard and level of bad that we would go back and live in that bad? Because after all, it wasn't too bad. I don't really need to change that much. I wasn't that bad. And only your big toe was going to hell. The rest of you was okay.
That would be nice.
Every single one of us was on our way to hell. Some of us was on a faster freight train than the others, and some of us was feeding coal to the locomotive.
Yep.
Are you with me? So although we had all different levels of living, it was all bad. And that's why we needed to get saved.
Amen.
Amen. Some people get saved and they stop drinking alcohol, which includes wine, just so you know. And then some people get saved and they stop cussing, mostly. Right? But that's it. That's good enough. I'm good enough. Good enough. Good enough for who? You know, we've talked about the different levels of rewards that there are in heaven. And there's different levels of punishment in hell. Everything's about levels. And, you know, people that work in businesses, where is your point of good enough? You know, if you're working in a corporation and you're getting promoted or whatever, where is your point of good enough? Well, it's the same thing in the kingdom of God. Where is your point of saying good enough? Because once eternity hits, you can't change your good enough. The Passion Translation. Let's read that. 2 Peter 2:18, the Passion Translation. "They spout off with their grandiose, impressive nonsense. Consumed with the lust of the flesh, they lower back into sin those who recently escaped from their error. it creates an allurement to those that have been recently saved. So let's say you got saved and you don't really want to quit a lot of things you used to do. Let's say you've been saved for 10 years and you still don't want to quit what you used to do. Let's say you've been saved for 20 years and you still don't want to quit what you used to do. Well, all of that is affecting people that just got saved. Your way of living becomes an allurement because it feeds their flesh. Well, look at them. They're saved. They've been saved for 20 years. They still drink. I guess I can too. See, it becomes an allurement. You know, well, I don't see how it can be an allurement. Well, why won't you quit? Don't shout me down. Because then it's an allurement to the flesh, and our flesh is not under control. And what it does to others is it pulls them backwards. They lure them back into sin. Now, you may not purposely be doing that. I'm sure that you're not. But I'm just telling you this is what goes on. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote to the believers and said, don't eat meat sacrificed to idols. Well, why not? Of course you could. I mean, it wasn't the fact that the meat was sacrificed to idols. Bless God, you could pray over that thing. It's sanctified. It's not a problem. The problem was is that in order to get that meat, you had to go back into those temples you were delivered out of. You're not going down to Santino's bakery or butchery. You got to go into the temple to get that meat. And that's what he's saying, to stay out of those temples. Of course, you've just gotten saved, and to go into that place, your flesh is going to be lured back in again. Just like bad company corrupts good morals, okay? It's the same thing. It's going to lure you back. And you might think you're strong enough, but that makes the word of God a liar. God said, bad company corrupts good morals. Stay away. Isn't that right? Amen. The Amplified. Let's read this in the Amplified Bible. It says, for uttering loud boasts of folly, they beguile and lure with lustful desires of the flesh those who are barely escaping from them who are wrongdoers. So the wrongdoers are the unsaved, people that got saved. They barely escaped. They've just gotten out. Okay? And this type of living does not help one's deliverance from darkness. We've been delivered out. When you got saved, you got delivered out for the purpose of walking in the light of the living and not going back into the ways of darkness. Isn't that right? Yeah. Amen. And if we refuse to change things in our life, we can become a stumbling block to somebody else. Amen. In the Message translation, verse 18 and 19, it says, they are loud mouths, full of hot air, but still they're dangerous. The men and women who have recently escaped from a deviant life are most susceptible to their brand of seduction. They promise these newcomers freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For if they're addicted to corruption, and they are, then they are enslaved. See, we were brought out of death not to return to living in death, not to return to walking in the deeds of darkness or to think like darkness thinks or even to talk like darkness talks. We've been delivered and we should change. Change how we live. Change how we walk. Change how we think. Change how we talk. Those things ought to change. Vulgar language has no place in the mouth of a believer. Yeah. Woe to the one that says they are a believer and causes a baby to stumble. Jesus said it's inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to the one by whom that stumbling block comes. Amen. And when you think about that verse, and we know that he was talking about, he actually had physical infants there. But you think about what's going on in the schools right now. You think about how they're indoctrinating children in the schools. They're bringing drag queens in to talk to the kids in school and all this other stuff going on. That's a stumbling block for those children. Because what they want to do is create at a young age that this is normal. And therefore create a stumbling block to them And woe to every single one of them. Not woe because we say woe, but Jesus said woe. And the woe of Jesus will come upon those people if they do not repent. Amen. We were in a prayer meeting when we went to Savannah. Yes, we went to church. And we went to the prayer meeting at Pastor Dathus Church and Pastor Lisa and Kempe. We went Tuesday night. And we were praying against what was going on in Target with the designers and the corporation. And that's what came up on the inside of me. Woe to these people. Woe to these people. That we speak the woe of Jesus Christ upon them. That woe of darkness would cover them. You say, no, Pastor, we need to pray for them to get saved. Well, that'll be their choice. You know, it's time that the church start speaking judgment against the evil that is in the world. You're not speaking against the people. You're speaking against the evil that's in the world. You need to start judging that. It is your right and heritage as a child of God to speak judgment against evil. And the church has been silent for so long, just wanting to, we love them. That's nonsense. God loves you, but he does not like your sin.
That's it. That's right.
Amen. Are you with me? Stumbling blocks. It is a responsibility that we change our life. Yeah. It's our responsibility that we line up with God's way of living. Amen. Hallelujah. Our life is now to be before God, walking habitually and continually in the light of the living. The word of life, or the life-giving word. Right?
Yes.
And in order to do so, we've got to start thinking like God in our life. Not just for what you want. Well, I'm believing God for my needs to be met. This is about life. We understand you might have needs and you've got stuff, and we all do. But this goes way beyond what we need and what we want and what we like. This is about living for the one that gave his life for you. We were talking about living for the one that gave up his body for you, that had it beat to a pulp, nailed to a cross. The one that gave up his soul for you. The one that ultimately gave up his life for you. And the one that ultimately gave up his spirit for you. And took on your sin into his spirit. And he went and paid the price for that. We're talking about living for him. That's what this is about. Are you with me?
Amen.
Living in the light of the living. God delivered us for this purpose, and this is what God wants.
Yes.
You know, covenant is where both parties live up to the expectations of each other. So I know that every single one of us expects God's going to do what he said in his word. I expect he's going to do this. Well, he expects from you too.
Right.
He expects us to walk in the freedom that he's provided for us. He expects us to walk in the light of the living. He expects that. This is covenant. We have an expectation of him. He has an expectation of us. It's a lifestyle that pleases God. Living our life by faith or by the word. Not just receiving what we want by faith, but living our life by faith. Most Christians don't even know how to live their life by faith. And yet that's what the Word of God is all about, living our life by faith. This is a life of choices based on the light of the Word of God that's in our heart. Choices to act immorally or not. Choices to have an outburst of anger or to walk in patience. Choices to be in strife and to create disputes and dissensions. Choices to be drinking with friends and going out carousing. Well, we don't really go carousing. We just suck up the wine at dinner. Choices. Choices. Well, God hasn't talked to me about that, and I'm sure you don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
Because not wanting to hear it will keep you from hearing it. To live in this light and the light of the living is to walk in it regularly, continually. And in order to do that, it takes a strong will set in God. Not a strong, arrogant, self-confident will. This is not about being pig-headed and thick-headed. This is about our will being set on God. There are many, many people within our own human self. We are strong. I'll tell you, you know, Moses was a very strong-willed person. He was willing to take on the whole Egyptian army. Killed one guy, and like, oh, what am I doing here? You know, and he ran off into the wilderness. But he was a strong-willed person. But when God got a hold of him, that strong will was set on God.
Yeah.
See, you can have a strong will in your own self, but when it comes to God, you're wimpy. You know, you can have a strong, I tell you what, you think you're going to do, I tell you what I'm going to do. But then when it comes to the things of God, I ain't going to say nothing. I'm just going to be quiet. I'm not saying nothing. Wimpy, wimpy. Are you with me? I understand this because I've come through it. Proverbs 24:10. Hallelujah. Proverbs 24:10. If you are slack in the day of distress, your strength is limited. You know, when God created Adam and Eve, they had a will to do as the Lord told them to do. He said, name all the animals. They named all the animals. He said, you can have anything in the garden. They had anything in the garden. He said, don't eat of this tree. They did not eat of that tree until they heard something different. And they started hearing what the enemy was saying to them. They started thinking about what the enemy was saying to them. They started pondering it and meditating on it. Well, I don't see where it says that in the Word of God. Oh, it says it very plainly in the Word of God. The serpent said, can you eat of any tree in the garden? And she said, well, this tree here, we can eat of any tree, but this tree, we can't eat of it or touch it. He's like, gotcha. So he started talking to her. And she started thinking about what he said and started pondering what he said. And it created a thought process in her to where she looked at the tree and said, it's a delight to the eyes. And she looked at the tree and said, oh, it's good for food. See, that was part of the pondering. So if it's a delight to the eyes and it's good for food, then it will be good for what he's telling me. And a little leaven the whole lump. Are you with me? When she started hearing, thinking, meditating, and pondering, and started reasoning on the information that was contrary to what the Lord said, the will was weakened to do what God told them to do. And that's why she ate from the tree and gave to her husband who was right there. His will was mush because they listened to the wrong thing. The Passion Translation, Proverbs 24:10. If you're faint when you're under pressure, you have need of courage. Well, you know, King Saul, he was put in as king. God never wanted Israel to have a king. He wanted to be their king and then rule through judges, but they didn't want that. They wanted a king because they wanted to be like the rest of the world. Kind of like a lot of churches that want to be like the world. And King Saul ultimately listened to the people. God told him destroy everything, but the people said, oh, we want this. So he listens to the people and does what the people says because he had a fear of people more than his fear of God. He forgot God was the one that elected him to office, not the people. And he thought he'd get more votes with the people. Not a good choice. Well, he lost his courage. His will was weakened, and he could not obey God. When you're not taking in a regular diet of the Word of God, your will is weak when it comes to the things of God. The Living Bible says you are a poor specimen if you can't stand the pressure of adversity. Well, the three Hebrew children, they're facing the fiery furnace, you know. And they're ready to get smoked. They're going to be the original Sonny's Barbecue. And there they are before the furnace. And the king says, bow, you bow, and I won't throw you into the fire. And they said to him, oh, let me tell you this, king. Our God will deliver us from your hand. Now, if you are going to throw us in the fire, we're not going to bow to keep out of the fire. But if you decide not to throw us in the fire, we're still not going to bow. So we've made our decision. Now you make yours, what you're going to do. Now, a lot of people reading that scripture, they're like, oh, yeah, yeah, I would do that too. You're so full of it. Come on. Just look back over the past year, some choices you've made. You wouldn't stand. You know it. I wouldn't want to be tested in that. No, thank you. But it says you're a poor specimen if you can't stand the pressure of adversity. Well, they spoke up to the king. They stood in a time of adversity, and their will remained strong. Daniel, when he heard the edict of the king, that it was signed with the signet ring, that you cannot pray to any other God. He still did what he always did, not in rebellion to the order, but in the fact that this is what I always do. He goes up to his room, he opens the windows towards Jerusalem, and he prays. He remains strong in faith because he continued to do what he knew what he knew he should do. He continued to follow what was in his heart rather than what the world wanted to tell him to do. David was a man after God's own heart. But he meditated on some wrong stuff when it came to Bathsheba. And it weakened his will to do what was right. And he lost sight of reverence for the Lord. But thank God, he repented, Bathsheba repented, and they returned back to the Lord. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Amen. And I don't know if you know that, you may not have been here last week, but Bathsheba was the one. She didn't write it, but she's the one that taught it to Solomon about the virtuous woman. Because Lemuel in Proverbs 31 is Solomon. That was a name she gave him, Lemuel. And Bathsheba was the one that actually wrote the virtuous woman. Which is probably hard for most people to wrap their heads around. But it's the power of repentance. The power of change. So to live in this light of the living, to walk in it regularly, continually, it takes a strong will set on God. Amen. So Romans 10:17, you can turn over there, but I'm sure you know what that says. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ or the word of God. Faith always comes by hearing. Adam heard from God, but then he heard from the enemy. Saul heard from God, but then he heard from the people. The three Hebrew children heard from God, and they are not going to listen to the king. Daniel heard from God, but he's not going to go along with what the king said. So he chose where to set his faith. But faith always comes by hearing. Now, faith in God comes by hearing his word. If you don't hear his word on a regular basis, you're not growing in faith. Now you're like, oh, I still believe in God. You believe in him, you just don't believe him. You know, I believe that President Biden is the president. I just don't believe anything he says. Now, you might believe everything he says, but that's up to you.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you about me, because I can't talk about you. I have to talk about me.
Thank you.
I don't think you want me to talk about you. I mean, I don't mind. Just write something up. I'll talk about you. So faith in God only comes by hearing his word. Whether we hear it spoken to us or whether we hear it spoken from us. This is the importance of muttering the word, hearing it. This is what strengthens our will. James 1:21 says, receive the word engrafted, which is able to save your soul, which is your mind, your emotions, your will, the Greek word psuche. It is able to save or to renew or restore your soul. So the word of God in your heart has within it the inherent ability to renew your mind, mend your emotions, and strengthen your will. And only by the word of God will your will be strengthened on the things of God. Amen. It gets you off the roller coaster ride. It gets you out of the wishy-washy operations of life. It gets you out of the wimpy will. It makes you strong in life, disciplined in life, with sound mind. Sound mind. Amen. Glory to God. Only the word of God can do this. You got to hear the word, sow it in your heart, and the word will grow. If you hear and you sow, that which you sow, it will grow. Amen. If what you hear is what you sow, then what you sow is what will grow. Hear it, sow it, grow it. Amen. Without the word of God, the will is going to be weak. So this goes beyond just, well, I know Jesus. It goes beyond that. Thank God you do know him. Thank God you've gotten saved. But now it's time to walk in the light of the living. You know, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, my word continues in you. He said to the Jews that believed in him, he says, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know in an experiential, participatory way the truth, and that truth that you experience and participate in will make you free. So the truth makes you free as you set your will to walk in it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Remember the parable of the sower. There were four different grounds that the seed was sown into. Every one of them heard the word, but there were different avenues that the enemy used to steal the word depending on where you were at in the hearing of the word. And the enemy always wants to come to steal that word, right? Why? Because if there's no word, you have no will to stand. If you have no word, you have no will to stand. One person in the parable of the sower kept the word in their heart and in their mouth and bore fruit. Amen.
Amen.
Remaining strong in our will to do the word that we hear, it will ultimately produce results. Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 7. There's one that heard the word and they did the word. And I will liken it to one in whose house the rain descended and the storms and the winds blew and the storms came, but the house stood because they were doers of the word. Not just, well, I'm doing what I want. No, no, no. This is a doer of the word in their life. They look to the word because you cannot live in the light of the living unless you live by faith. And then there was one that did not do the word. And the same storms came. And the same rains descended. And the same winds blew. But that house came down, and great was its fall, because they did not do the word. But yet they thought, they knew the word because they only lived in intellectual stimulation. And unless that word is applied into your life, you don't know it. And that's what he says when he said the truth will make you free. And you know the truth. The word know in the Greek means an experiential participation in the truth that you've heard. And that life in that truth will make you free. Amen. The woman with the issue of blood had a strong will to get out there where the multitudes were pressing in on Jesus and Jairus was walking right next to him. She had a strong will to go out there because she kept saying, if I just touch his garment, I get well. If I just touch his garment, I get well. I heard about Jesus. I heard about how healing happens with Jesus. If I could just touch his garment, I get well. And it propelled her through every obstacle.
Right.
Nothing could dissuade her because she was strong-willed on the word of God. Bartimaeus, Jesus comes through town. And Bartimaeus cries out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And the religious people said, be quiet. We're in church. Don't make any noise. And he cried out all the more. And Jesus stopped. And he said, come over here. Right? Abraham, strong-willed in God as he grew in God. He wasn't strong at first. But as he grew in God, he got stronger and stronger. And the Bible says that he got to the point to where he became fully persuaded that what God promised, God was able to perform it. The Syrophoenician woman came to Jesus. Can you help my daughter? She's grievously vexed. Sorry, woman, it's not to give, we're not to give the children's bread to the dogs. Well, she wasn't going to quit. She said, well, I'll take a crumb. Just a crumb that falls from the table. I'll take a crumb. He wasn't going to quit. Joseph had a dream. His brothers hated him even more than they did before because of the dream. They were going to kill him. But then they decided, we'll make money off of him. Sold him into slavery. But he didn't quit. He rose to the top of the ranks in Potiphar's house. Why? Because he didn't have an attitude. I tell you what, I got a dream from God. I'll tell you what, it's just not working. God, you said.
Yeah.
See, he knew his part of the covenant. He knew what God expected of him and how God expected him to live and conduct himself. And he did it. And then things were going well in Potiphar's house till the old lady came around. Well, she wasn't that old, but you know. So Joseph refuses to, he's making a choice. Remember choices. He's making a choice. I'm not going to enter into immorality. He didn't say, I can't do that, lady. My jaw's going to be on the line. He didn't say, hey, what's wrong with you? Your husband is not going to like me, and he's my boss. He's not going to like this. No, he said, how can I do this sin against my God? Something we can all remember.
Yes.
He stayed strong in his will, even though he wound up in the prison. And then the baker and the cupbearer forgot about it. Well, the baker, you know, he forgot him. He killed him. But the cupbearer, he forgot all about Joseph for 2 years until Pharaoh had a dream. And then he goes, holy vey, I remember this guy in prison. He interpreted my dream. He probably didn't say oy vey. He was Babylonian or something. So Joseph stood all that time. And I believe it was about a 20-year stint for Joseph. And then the dream came to pass. Well, you know, God needs to get moving. I mean, I'm getting older. I don't know if I have 20 years left for my dream. Don't worry, honey. You got all eternity.
Yeah.
The dream on this side or on that side. See, and that's the problem is we live so much in the temporal. We're not eternal minded. If you'd get more eternal minded, the things of the temporal would go a lot quicker. Noah Noah stood strong-willed in God. Noah had a building of the ark. Thank you, Jesus. Building of the ark. For 120 years, he's building an ark.
Wow. Yeah,
120 years of ridicule. Laughed at him. You know, people being demeaning to him, talking about him, telling him about how stupid and how crazy he is, and this is ridiculous, and, you know, just all kinds of stuff. But Noah stood. Noah stood. Jesus stood. You know, Jesus wasn't on the earth for 120 years, but I guarantee you, Jesus had to come against more things than Noah ever did in 120 years. But Jesus stood against the onslaughts of the enemy. He stood in the wilderness. He stood against everything. Every time the enemy tried to persuade him not to go to the cross, he stood. He even said, "Father, I don't want to do this." Well, yeah, who would want to? He said, "I don't want to go through this, but if that's what you want me to do, if this is the only way we can do this, then we'll do it." Strong-willed. Paul was strong-willed to do what God told him to do, despite all of the obstacles that came against him. Gideon was strong-willed, even though he was the least in his father's house, and his father's house was the least in all of the land. He obeyed God. Ananias was strong to follow the direction of the Lord and go pray for Saul, who had just come into Damascus. In Damascus. And he went and prayed for Saul. And Saul became a great apostle. Every single one of these were all doers of the word. Every single one of these were walking in the light of the living and blessed in their life of obedience. Amen. You know, if the blessing isn't running you down and overtaking you, I would look and examine your condition of obedience. Because even back in Deuteronomy, it says these blessings will overtake you, overrun you, and overpower you if you listen to and hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. Isn't that right? Amen. John 17, verse 17, you know what it says there. Jesus is speaking here before going to the cross, and he says to the Father, "Thy word is truth." Thy word, Father, is truth. In 3 John, he says, "I have no greater joy than this, than to hear of my children walking in the truth." You know, there are some people that have their truth. I know we've mentioned this quite a bit, but it's worth mentioning. But people have their truth. You know, your truth might be that there's no such thing as gravity. You say, "Well, who would think that?" Well, do we have to get into that? It's the same people that think the world's flat. There are still people that think the world's flat, you know. Or the climate change people, you know, that you've been hearing about for the last 30 years. Well, if you believe that there's no such thing as gravity, jump off the roof. Because when you fall off the roof, you'll be proven a liar. Right? Get on a ship and sail around the world, and your flat earth theory, it will be proven to be a lie. And for those of you that have been around long enough, you know we made it through the 90s. We made it through 2000, 2010, 2015. And we're going to make it through every single year coming up that the climate change people are screaming about. Yes. They've been pulling the wool over people's eyes forever and ever, and they're always hoping the next generation will fall for their nonsense. Mm-hmm. The world has not come to an end, and it's not going to.
That's right.
Because these people are not in charge of what happens in the earth. Right. He holds all things together by the word of his power. Back in 1988, there was a big thing. Jesus is coming back in 1988. The guy even wrote a book, 88 Reasons Jesus is Coming Back in 88. Then he wrote another book in 1989, 89 Reasons that he's coming back in 89. What was the 89th reason? He didn't come back in 88. You know. Yeah. But you see, another proven lie. It's proven to be a lie. So people may have their truth, but only the truth of the Word of God will stand. Romans 1:17, you know what that says too. In it, or in the Word, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous man shall live by faith. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. The Word of God tells us in Proverbs and in Revelation, do not add to the Word and do not take away from it, for you will be proven to be a liar. You know, there are some folks that say this faith stuff just don't work. But yet, every single one of us are created by God. And every single one of us operate on a faith system. We have within us a faith operating system. You know, Apple has their OS. You have an OS, an operating system. It's called faith. Every person on the earth has an operating system in them called faith. Everybody does. Now, unfortunately, when you hear faith, you're thinking faith in God. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about faith in general. These yo-yos that have their truth, they really believe that until they're proven to be a liar. And it's not that they are purposely lying, but that which they believe will be shown to be a lie. If what we fear, okay, is where we set our faith, it's going to come to pass. Job was proof of that. If we believe things are not going to work out, then you're going to have what you believe. Jesus said that, whatsoever things you believe and do not doubt in your heart, but believe that it's going to happen, you'll have what you say. I don't understand this. I really don't understand this. How is it that Jesus, it's in red, and he says that whatsoever, whosoever says and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, he'll have what he says. Jesus said that. How is it that people say, no, that's not true? Not true? What, you got a different truth? I don't get this stuff. It's right there in the Bible. It's in red. It's a quote from the master himself. Therefore, I say to you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you have received, and you will have it. So what's the problem? The problem is people don't know how to believe. And because they don't know how to believe, they want to blame all of their failures on something else. Oh, we'll get into some of that tonight. You staying home? I'm coming to get you. If I believe that I'm getting sick or getting worse, I'm calling that into my life. Your faith operating system works. It is it's integrated into our original design. Do you know why I have an Italian heritage? Because my parents were Italian. Do you know why you have a faith system? Because God is a faith God. You get what your parents gave you. I'm Italian not because God chose for me to be Italian. I'm Italian because two Italians came together. That's deep. I know. This is really deep stuff, you know. You got to really think about this. God is the one that created you. He's a faith God. So you have in you what he is. The devil, just all these years when you stepped into sin, he perverted all of those things. But God's calling you back into an original design. We have the free will to believe anything we want, and we can operate our faith system any way we wish. I can operate it on fear. I can operate it on my truth. I can operate it on my tradition. Or I can operate it on the Word of God. Operate it on anything I want to. I have the free will to do that. Life and death, the blessing and the curse. My choice. Nobody else's fault but mine. When we say we don't believe in faithful living, well, you know, it's just all up to God. You're taken away from the Word. That's written in red. And you'll be proven a liar every time your FOS works. Your faith operating system. Every time your faith operating system works, you're proven to be a liar because you said that faith stuff don't work. But yet you operate by faith continuously. How many of you live outside of this building? And are you going home after this?
Yes.
How are you going to get there?
In my car.
You believe it's going to start?
Yes.
You don't know if it will. But you believe it will. And therefore, you go out to your car without even thinking twice about it. I'm going to my car. I'm going to get in my car. I'm going to go home. There's not going to be any issues, any problems. And I'm going to have something to eat. And this is what I'm planning.
Yep.
That's faith. Yes. Why is it faith? Because it's not here right now. That's faith. You have a faith operating system. You operate in this every day, all day, all the time, 365 days out of the year. Every year you've been alive. But yet, we want to say many times, this faith stuff don't work. Liar. Liar. The just shall live by whatever God wants. No, faith. Faith. The just shall live by faith. Or your light, your living in the light of the living is going to be by faith. Amen? You know, just because you inputted something wrong on the computer, or you pressed the wrong button on your device, it does not mean that that computer or device is not going to function according to what you input.
I don't know why it went over there. I don't know what it's doing. I didn't do that.
No, we never do it. It's always that thing's fault. Because you know, AI is so stinking smart. They're just running everything. They don't care what you think and what you say. No. Why did your computer go to the wrong place? Because it's in the design of the computer to work based on what gets put in. It is not in the design of the computer to consider the information you input. Oh, no, no, I can't do that. You put the wrong information in. Does anybody's computer ever tell you that? Big sign comes up, stop, we're not doing this, you got the wrong information. Anybody? No, it's design. Whatever you input, the operating system's going to work it. We input the wrong information. We press the wrong button. The thing goes where we don't want to go. And then we get upset because it's not telling me what I want to know. But you didn't put in the right information to find out and get what you need to know. And yet, the system is only operating based on the input I put in. Even though you may have put the input in ignorantly. You didn't mean to put it in, but you did. Are you with me? Jesus said, the soil, the heart of the spirit of man, the soil produces crops of itself. Whatever seed, whatever information, whatever belief you input, it's going to work vigorously to produce it.
Yeah.
The blessing or the curse, life or death, doesn't matter. Whatever you input, it's going to work vigorously to produce it. Not only in the area of what you want, but in life. In life. Huh? What I hear is what I sow. And from my heart, it will grow. Simple process. How many of you ever grown flowers? Did you ever sit and watch it grow? Did you ever see it grow? No, not really. You can't see it grow. Not in real time. You can't see that flower grow. Just like you can't see the seed grow in you. And people all the time, I don't see anything happening. I don't know. Nothing's happening. I don't see anything happening. You know, what are you, Houdini? You expect in a moment you're just going to break out of whatever. And, you know, and I said this, and my incantation ought to be working. It should just produce results. I don't know why it's taking so long. Well, you can't see it grow. And you have no faith that it is growing. Your faith is only in what you see, and you can't see it grow. But yet it is growing. Well, what is it growing? Depends on what you input. It's either growing the blessing or the curse, life or death. Whatever you've input, this is what it will grow. God is always working to get our faith operating system operating on His Word so that His Word will be input into our system so that our system will be one of truth, real truth, His truth. God is trying to strengthen all of the support systems within our being, which would be our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions, trying to get it all to work in conjunction with the operating system of the human spirit. I've had computers become inoperable. But it was not based on a hard drive problem or a motherboard issue. Now, computer people know what I'm talking about. But it was a support system, like a power supply was an issue. Or a cooling fan was an issue. Or the RAM chip went bad. But something was keeping it from working like it should. See, the soul is just as important as the human spirit. They must work in conjunction with each other, by the Word of God, by the power of God, through the Holy Spirit, so that we can walk before God in the light of the living. And our soul has to come in line with what God's put within our spirit. Amen. Amen. That our truth becomes what His truth says. And that we live our life according to those things. That we make our choices according to those things. That we no longer choose the deeds of the flesh, but the fruit of the Spirit. That we put off lying and cheating, and we take on honesty, integrity. That we put off sloppiness and take on discipline. A sound mind, one that's strengthened on by the will that's set on the Word of God. Amen. It's walking in the light of the living. Jesus came, paid the price, and set you free so that you can do that. It is not beyond our reach. Don't let it be beyond your choice.
Amen.
Father, I thank you, Father. I bless you. I praise you. I give you all the glory and all the honor. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your grace, for all that you are, and for all that you do. Father, I thank you for your word and for your Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. You have given us everything we need for life and everything we need that we can live this life in a godly manner.
Yes.
Father, I thank you for freedom and deliverance that you've brought, that we can walk in the light of the living. So, Holy Spirit, looking to you right now, every single one of us are looking to you right now to show us the things that we may need to change. Show us the things we need to peel off and the things we need to stick on. Father, that we would be conformed more and more to the image of Jesus, that we would be restored and renewed in the spirit of our mind and put on that new man that you've made us to be, that we put it on in our soul, in our mind, our emotions, our will, put it on in our life, that it is manifested in everyday living. Father, we love you. We obey your voice and hold fast to you, Father. And I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can be who you said we are. We can do what you say we can do. We can have what you say we can have. We can accomplish what it is you want us to accomplish. That we'll fulfill your purpose, for it was for that we have been set free. That we'd walk in your life, walk in your purpose, walk in your ways. Father, we thank you and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. Glory to God. Glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we bless you. We honor you, Father. We thank you for your word today. Thank you, Lord, that we take it to heart. And Father, we know that these are the things that will change our life. Oh, Father, there's so many times that we think things are going to change our life, but it's not things that change our life, but it is taking on the substance of your life that will change our life, that will bring success to our life and bring advancement into the things that we do. Father, we thank you for your life in us, that we can always take hold of it, grow in it, walk in it, and become more and more as you've made us to be, children of the Most High God. Thank you, Father, as we come before you with our tithes, with our offerings. Father, I just thank you so much for the opportunity to come before you, a holy God, that we come with a heart of thanksgiving, we come with a heart of praise and honor and worship to you, Lord. For you alone are worthy to be praised, to be honored, and we come with the substance of our life to bless you. And Father, I thank you that you have attached promise to our tithe giving. You've attached promise to our seed sowing. And Father, we take what your word says and we declare it over that which we do today. That it is by faith, Father, that we sow our seed, that we bring our tithes. And Father, we declare what your word says, for your word is alive in our heart, it's in our mouth, and it is faith that will produce back to us 30, 60, and 100-fold. We thank you and bless you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen,
amen, amen, amen. Glory to God, glory to God. Just as a quick note, Terry Mize had to change his schedule. He had some issues that he came up with, so he is going to be here about a week later than what he had planned. He'll be here, I think, the first week in August. But it'll be in the announcements that's going to be coming out, and you'll see the updated information. Amen. If you joined us online, on podcast, on live stream, thanks so much for being with us today. And I do pray that the Word of God has really affected you and brought you to a place of understanding greater things and brought you to a place to where you could step further into the things of God. If you'd like to sow seed into the ministry, go to our website, newlifefamilyworship.net, click on the giving link. And I thank you in advance for the seed that you sow. If there's anything that we can pray with you about, please let us know. And it's always an honor to stand with our partners and believe God for your needs to be met.